people ask what Omaha means. It's a run play, but it could be a pass play.
I don't think anyone's dead meat. Not around here anyway. Normally, we just have hamburgers. We've got some really great meat from time to time to eat because of Tom Schreier. It could be run, could be a pass. It's Cold Omaha. And Tom Schreier sitting right in with Radioactive Sports again this afternoon.
Yeah,
talking Twins.
I bring meat. Chris Shad.
There you do.
Hot dogs.
Yeah. Chris Shad makes me want to say things to have to hit the dumb button.
Oh, no. That's unfortunate.
Oh, yeah. Trust me.
I should make this make the cooking regular. I'll bring you some tacos, maybe.
Oh, I love tacos.
God, son of a bitch!
Look at Zach back there.
I'm gonna look at Big Zach.
Yeah, Zach's in. Zach wants tacos.
I look at Zach. Zach Wright is his name. Everybody, when you call here to Radioactive Sports, a lot of the time it's Zach Wright on the phone over there. Zach's what we like to say in Iowa. He's a big one. He's a hoss, and I am too. I grew up that way, and I look at you, Zach, and I just think tacos. I just do. I just think you just love yourself a damn taco.
I love tacos.
I'm just like that too, man. I can eat 10, 12 of those right now. Mm. Hard shell. Mm. Bring them out. Mm-hmm. Bring them on out. Zach and I are going to pound those out together.
Well, what about me? I like to eat food too.
I don't see you as a taco guy.
What? That's what I've been eating for breakfast almost every day this week.
No, what?
No. Yeah.
I see you as a chicken wing guy. Slarfing chicken wings.
I'm
in
an
ranch.
Equal opportunity. Oh. I ran out of chicken and eggs, and so I've been eating tacos.
Have I brought this up before? D Spot in Maplewood.
No, I told you about D Spot. I think, didn't I?
What? No, I heard about it from a friend. I'm going to assure you on that.
When did you go to D Spot? D Spot in Maplewood is the absolute best chicken wings you'll ever have in your life.
So it's like hole in the wall place, and that guy's expanding. I just talked to him.
He was expanding a year ago when I went.
Yeah, he always says that. But yeah, he's supposed to be expanding in Maplewood. Yeah,
it's crazy.
Well, he has a weird. It's the border of Oakdale and Maplewood.
It's right behind 3M.
Yeah, yeah. And so you have to deal, and Tartan High School, if people know where that is. But you have to deal with both cities, which sucks. Because he has to get all these policies.
D-Spot. If you've never been to D-Spot, we'll have to go.
It's
superstar.
It's so amazing.
It's not about necessarily just eating as many wings as you possibly can. They have, I want to say he has 500 different wing flavors.
It's Snackers. You literally can have Snickers on a wing. It blows your mind,
dude.
That's
outrageous.
It is unbelievable.
It's so good.
Most wings you've ever eaten in one sitting.
Mm, 30.
How about you, Tom?
I don't know. Probably not even 30, though. That's aggressive.
I think probably. I have the record in Tokyo at the Hard Rock Cafe.
I bet you do. What is it?
Yeah.
100 and some?
72.
Damn.
Wow.
I couldn't even walk after 30.
So I'm sitting there. We're playing over there. The Vikings were playing the Chiefs. And, we practice and practice and practice all day out in this. I mean, it was hotter than hell. Come inside. Hard Rock Cafe, the cafe had the air conditioner on, and American food. So, I mean, it was good to get back to a hamburger and some chicken wings. So I had, I think, like 8 baskets. I think they're like 10 in a basket.
What you want to do at this place, though, D-Spot, is you bring a whole bunch of people and just have like a smorgasbord.
Because we did.
Yeah.
Wow.
And their burgers are right. Do you have the burgers?
Screw the burgers. When you're at D-Spot, you eat wings, and that is it.
There's the 50-50 is pretty solid, though.
So many.
50-50? The wings and burgers both, or what?
No, bacon and bacon.
Oh, you're talking about beef.
The bacon and hamburger burger, yeah. No, D-Spot, the guy knows, he's out of his mind now.
Where's this guy come from?
From around here, I think, but he's out of his mind nuts. He is so smart that he's one of those guys that is just so smart that he can't sleep.
Oh, and
his brain is going 900 miles per hour.
Because like he wants everything like perfect.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's just a dump, but it's awesome.
No, it's sweet. I mean, it's in the mural or whatever.
I
don't know.
Love it.
Yeah.
My favorite kind of place.
Such an awesome place.
We have to go. Too bad it's, I mean, I always complain about coming out to your house in Shakopee.
Yeah.
But Oakdale is just as far. I'm a city guy. I'm in the city. So not only do I have to leave Minneapolis, and then I have to go through St. Paul, and then I have to go all the way out to God's green earth and almost be in Wisconsin.
I'll meet you over there. Hellfire. We'll do it tomorrow before we go to the ballpark.
Tomorrow before we go to, no, I can't do it tomorrow, but we'll have to work out a day.
We should have a ticket. Have Zach can come.
Yeah.
We'll do it someday,
for sure. But we're talking to Tom Schreier from 105theticket.com and Cold Omaha writing team. Interesting article that you just published. Minnesota Twins player development key to establishing trust with the fan base. And in my opinion, again, I have a lot of opinions, but they've screwed the pooch on this several times, and that's why fans are kind of upset. I mean, I think you wrote Oswaldo Arcia, He's hitting 257, 10 strikeouts against righties, 304 with 5 strikeouts against lefties. He's having an okay year right now, but we all know about Aaron Hicks. Kenny Vargason back down to AAA is batting 248. I mean, we could go on and on. These are just the players right now that are going through some certain things. And if the Twins are basing all of their future hopes on Byron Buxton and Miguel Sano and Eddie Rosario and some of these younger guys, they really have to turn things around when it comes to making these young players actually come up to the big leagues and do something.
Yeah, two things. I think first, what I wrote in the story is that they need other players around them. So this can't just, you know, Bucks and Snow aren't going to just save you. This isn't basketball where you get a Wiggins and then you throw a couple pieces around him and have a good team. I think it's good for the young players, too, to have other people in their age group going through the same struggles, probably going up and down a little bit. I think when you come onto a team that's just all kind of veterans, been there before, not high ceiling, you know, you talk about a guy like Kevin Correa, who was on the Twins for a while, basically said, hey, I'm trying to eat innings. That, you know, he's not out there trying to get 10 strikeouts, or he knew what he was at that point. And I think as a young player, you want kind of that almost like irrational optimism that I can be a superstar and I, you know, we can go win championships, and kind of the most fun Twins teams, and I don't know what you guys think, but are the ones where you kind of are figuring out everyone's name and you're figuring out, like, you know, who are these guys? And they just have this ambition where it's just, they can't be told that they're not, you know, the best team in the division, the best team in baseball. And that's kind of what you want right now.
I remember when Torii Hunter was at his press conference when they signed him back, and he said, we can do this now.
Hey, Mike is kind of a prick. Huh?
And he also said that part.
He also said that.
And then
that.
He went on to say this.
You're a prick, man. I don't even know you.
And then this.
You're a prick. Seriously.
He was talking about me there, and he's right.
You should fight him.
But no. I know my limits.
He eats fire.
I saw that. I saw that on the news.
I was in Notre Dame this
weekend. It was his son's bit, right?
Yeah, his son plays baseball and football there, I think. Yeah. And I was there that weekend, and I was so mad that I didn't, like, know about this.
Dang it.
I'm going to have to confront him about this.
A little bit crazy to be doing what he did, but I don't exactly know how they did it, but he is. He is a little bit. And he used to make fun of me, too. I was out there for, like, you know, a little batting contest. You know, they serve up 5, 6, 7 softballs, I think.
You're hitting from second base.
Second base. Yeah. And I launched 4 of them out. But I did strike out on 2 or 3 pitches. I mean, I just swung at slow pitch softballs and missed completely. And Torii was out there with, I think it was Koski, just giving me hell. Just giving me a bad time.
You got
a
hold of one, though, superstar.
I did kill one.
Out of here,
I killed one. Did you see it? Oh, no. I crushed one, and Harmon Killebrew came
up.
Gave me a big bear hug, and he goes, man, you got a hold of that thing, didn't you? I was like, yeah, and you're Harmon Killebrew, and you're hugging me. You're hugging me right now, and that makes me feel great. Torii Hunter said they could do it. First year out. He said, we're going to do it this year.
Yeah.
People are waiting around for the big transition in 2-3 years down the road, and the pitching will finally be there, and we'll finally get Buxton up here. We'll get Sano up here, and we're going to be a team someday. Hunter said no today, and Paul Molitor said when he took the job, we're not looking at the other people down at the next level. Yeah. We're looking at what we have here because we have to do this now. People have had 4 seasons in a row with 90 losses and more. We got to do it now.
And you don't want in your first year, if you're a player or a guy who played for the Twins, obviously part of the Twins system, came from here, to be accused of being complacent, right? So you don't want him to come out the first year and be like, hey, we're in truth, you know, hey, the call up of Buxton, call up of Sano are going to be big. We're going to try to figure out Hicks. You know, we got some good relievers in their kind of 20s. We're going to try to get Meyer up here. You know, if you do that, I think as much as he's probably right in saying that, it sounds complacent. At a certain point, these guys have to show they want to win, and they have to show that, again, you have these young players that should have, you know, infinite ambition. They should come up and just be having fun, really, because they're in the major leagues. This is living the lifestyle they wanted. And, you know, I think to your point about, you know, what they've done with player development, you know, Chris Parmley and Joe Benson came up early, didn't pan out. You hope you don't have that, because when you're using major league time on players, you want it to be on Rosario, right? And be like, hey, Eddie, this is what the major leagues are like. Go back down, do what you got to do, come back up better prepared the next time. You also don't want a Hicks situation where they really probably should have brought him down quicker and then gained his confidence, played more AAA baseball, and then came back up. You don't want Alex Meyer, who is sitting around and kind of the glimmer around him's going away, right? Because people are like, where is he and why isn't he throwing strikes? And I understand that they have to be patient with these players. What you have to get right is by the time they're 26, it's kind of either put up or shut up time. I mean, you're in your athletic prime. You know, injuries are going to pile up. Pitch counts are going to pile up. you're going to get hit by a couple balls, right? And so these guys, you know, over time are kind of taking a beating. You want it where they're in the athletic prime and they're shining, right, with the Minnesota Twins. So I understand with, I wouldn't give up on Arcia. Again, you have to figure out, is he a platoon player or is he, you know, an everyday player? I think you have to figure out the same thing with Aaron Hicks. And Hicks, I think it's kind of do or die now. If he goes back down, you got to get rid of him, which you're going to get not much for a guy that you really liked and who was a first-round pick and may come back and haunt you if another team figures out how, you know, what to do with him.
It's frustrating to be a Twins fan because we all deserve better. And all of these high draft picks, and I understand it's not football, it's not basketball, it's kind of comparative to hockey, and you draft these young kids out of high school oftentimes. That some of them don't pan out, but some of them have to, and it's just been so frustrating, again, to be a Twins fan, to watch guys where you say Parmalee or Benson or Hicks or Arcia, or, I mean, just the list goes on, can go back, that they come up and they don't pan out. I mean, we were winning Central Division championships with guys like Doug Minkiewicz and Nick Punto, for God's sakes. Tom Schreier, great article, love it, 105theticket.com, part of the Cold Omaha writing team. Minnesota Twins player development, key to establishing trust with the fan base. Again, thank you, my man.
Yeah, thank you.
Tommy Schreier, and he brings in hamburgers. He's the bomb. So he's Mr. Worcestershire. That's what he is. And it's a great article, so pick it up and enjoy. We've got a little Timberwolf talk. Let me get that out again. Hardwood Rob, you will absolutely recognize the next voice that you will hear on with us, because Hardwood Rob has got the big, big, big booming voice. And you and I wish to have.
Of course.
You and I together don't have that voice.
No.
Damn it. How does he do that? Son of a bitch. Hardwood Bob is, I'm going to call him Hardwood Bob from now on too.
Okay, I call him Bobby.
He doesn't care. Do you think he cares?
No.
Hardwood Bob next.
Radioactive Sports in the Afternoon on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
We're not going to trade the pick. That's not going to happen. I'll tell you that. I shouldn't say not. You know, I mean, you can always be swayed on certain things, but I feel that the guys that are in the top of this draft are just too good and can be long-term players. And listen, you know, we're going to a situation now where we're going to have two top picks over the last 2 years. You know, we want to give these guys a chance to, you know, develop at a more rapid rate. And I believe that we've proven as an organization that we can, you know, we can develop players. And you look at how Wiggins developed and when we got him to where he was at the end of the year. And we'll continue to try to do the same with, you know, with who we get taking the number one pick.
Word. Makes me think that just with this beat, I mean, I know Hardwood Rob is dancing, but... Jackass! This, it sounds like a Michael Jackson song.
Jackass!
What'd you do the arm thing?
What's that?
What'd you do the arm thing? Like this.
I didn't. He did.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you talking about the Thriller thing?
Yeah. Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, it was odd. Michael Jackson was a little odd, too.
No, completely normal. I think he was Bruce Jenner before Bruce Jenner was Bruce Jenner. I think
he was Elephant Man before Elephant Man was Elephant Man.
Hardwood Rob and I talked about this, I want to say, when Bruce Jenner was first on the Diane Sawyer deal, and I said, I think Michael Jackson had a bit of that going on. I really do. I think he wanted to be a white woman.
Like, maybe that's where the maternal instincts were kicking in.
Yeah.
Is that what
he wanted to be, a white woman?
That's we can't just, that's Mike, man. Come on, man. No.
He was a great performer.
Yeah, we can say anything we want to. Oh, we have our own radio show. Come on,
Mike.
He was a great performer.
Poor Mike.
He had a cool chimpanzee out.
You did name his chimp Bubbles.
Yeah. Was it Wonderland or what do you call it?
Neverland.
Always. Always land.
Introduce our guest with a deep voice.
It's Hardwood Bob. I call him Hardwood Bob.
Yeah.
Bob's got the voice, man. Hardwood Rob is real deal. He knows his basketball. And are you from the Los Angeles area?
Yes, originally. Yes. So don't hold it against me.
You've got to be pretty happy about the way this thing turned out for Los Angeles.
It could not have worked out better.
That the T-Wolves are going to do what, allowing you to do what?
Well, okay, I do. I want Okafor in L.A. I do. And I mean, I was on here talking with you guys before months ago. I mean, the whole he who shall not be named thing, Okafor, the man. Like, right. I'm a big fan. If the Wolves went, and see, that's the thing, is I think the Wolves actually do have a preference for Okafor.
I do too.
But Towns is the fit. Towns is the guy. I think
I agree with that.
I hate to spin on my own words, but I do. I like Towns for Minnesota now. I just do. I think he's the for what they're doing. It just makes more sense.
Can you imagine that with Wiggins? Can you imagine that?
Towns and Wiggins and Rubio and Levine and Shabazz and
just seeing those like the potential starting fives. You know, as they're putting them across the screen yesterday, it was just like. Yes.
Yeah. No
awesome.
And you're talking about the Timberwolves here, not the LA Lakers.
The Lakers are still going to be terrible. The Wolves actually have a chance to win basketball games. Yeah. Like, that's incredible. They're going to win basketball games.
Yeah, they are. They are. I mean, Wiggins, second year. You get little Towns in here. You get some, I don't know if Bennett will ever turn.
I think Levine's going to make
I'm big on Levine, too. I am, too. I think he's smooth.
It's
Rubio. Can they screw that ankle back on? Damn it. Someone build that ankle back.
Well, first it was the knee.
Yeah.
Kobe Bryant, your jackass guy, screwed up his knee.
Well, I thought it was Achilles tendon. Didn't he pop his Achilles?
No, that was, I believe that was what's his toes? Pekovic. He had a knee deal.
I mean, Kobe.
He ran into his knee.
It was like a knee bump or something like that.
Ah,
yeah.
Okay.
So, Hardwood Rob, the co-host for One and Done, you have a special show coming up this Saturday, I believe, from 9 to 11, a 2-hour special.
9 to 11, Mark Fuller, Ryan James, and I are all going to be in the building for basketball talk, wall to wall, 2 hours of basketball. Obviously, there's going to be some Timberwolves conversation, but we're going to touch on Gophers and high school basketball as well, because there's still, you know, there's... Just like football, there's never an off season for basketball. It's always the season.
True. So you have this name, Hardwood Rob, because you know everything about basketball. That's the reason why we have you in here. Tell me why. Tell us why Karl Anthony Towns is a good fit for the Minnesota Timberwolves, and why you think Jahlil Okafor is a better fit in Los Angeles.
Well, let me start with Okafor because we already addressed the Lakers are kind of my hometown team, even though the Wolves are my adopted hometown team. I think the Lakers have the more immediate need for a low post presence offensively. And they just need a scorer at all, like period. But with Towns, I think he could play with Peck, not just start in front of him, but I think he could actually play with Peck. He gets the Wolves moving up and down the floor. I mean, he can rebound. He can block shots. The Wolves were the worst shot blocking team in the NBA. And he had like a little more than four blocks a game in 40 minutes. Like, that's what he averaged. Four blocks a game.
That's ridiculous.
Sick.
Yeah. I mean, his stroke, he's not afraid to shoot the ball. He's got good form. He's a good free throw shooter. I mean, he's got room to improve, obviously, but the dude's still he's 19. I mean, we're talking about a 19-year-old kid. So
he's so fluid in his movements, too. It's just beautiful. A lot of people talk about Jahlil Okafor's footwork, but when it comes to defense, he, to me, is just a complete liability. And that's the last thing the Minnesota Timberwolves need is another liability on defense, because you can only hide so many players. But let's just look into the future here just a little bit and say there's no Peck. There's just Gorky Jang. Which player would be better if they move Gorky Jang to the power forward position? Which player would be better in the front court for the Minnesota Timberwolves?
Okafor. But I don't really, I think you and I feel a little bit differently about Gorgie. I think I feel differently than most people do about Gorgie. I don't think Gorgie's a viable long-term piece. I don't. I think that's going to come from Towns or Okafor. Should we draft either? That's who it's going to be. Because Okafor's game is really about his back to the basket. And 5 years ago, even, it would be a no-brainer. I mean, Oden went number one over Durant. I mean, we're talking about a league that is now up and down. It's not, let's pound it in down low and score with a big man back to the basket. It's about, can we run? Can we get up and down the floor? Can we get a guy who's going to be able to stretch the defense? Because Towns does have a legitimate, 15-foot jump shot. So,
interesting. Yeah,
it's hard to say really if we get rid of Peck, what are we going to do? Who would be better? Because I think ultimately we're looking at the solution here. I mean, that's what we're going to do at some point. I mean, is he healthy enough to even stay on the floor? Peck frustrates me in all sorts of ways.
Of course
he
does.
When you say Peck, it just kind of sends a thing down my spine.
Flip was saying yesterday he hopes Peck can play 40 games a year.
What does he make it like?
12.
Oh, yeah.
40 games a year. 40 to 50 games a year. He said that's realistic for Peck. 40 to 50.
Okay, now, assuming that some of those are going to be playoff games, right? I mean, because at some point the goal is to
I would imagine
the playoffs.
Yeah. I would think so.
I mean, that's what, 12, 30 more games? I mean, that's, you're talking about a 20-game regular season?
Yeah.
What?
No kidding. Yeah. That's
no, thank you.
That's a pretty tough, that's a stretch, isn't
40
it?
Games.
40 games. Can you imagine Packer. 12 million?
But we're getting Towns or Okafor. We're getting Towns.
Yeah.
But we're getting Towns. We've got the number one pick in the draft.
We sure do.
I think above all else, we should just celebrate that. Amen, brother.
I think so.
A lot of people
are saying that he's the more offensive-minded coach, Flip Saunders.
But you need defense to win. What do you need? You need defense, and you need to hit free throws.
Yeah,
those are the two key ingredients to winning.
What does Flip
which
think?
Which Jahlil Okafor can't do either.
Yet. I mean, he can, but not as well as.
I mean, look at big guys that can't shoot free throws. How many of them have learned to shoot free throws?
Well,
mailman.
Besides mailman.
Yeah.
And he's not, he was only 6'8", so he's not.
Patrick Ewing. We talked about.
I think Duncan was not great out of Wake Forest. I don't think he was great.
It's just a different big man's game anymore. I mean, DeAndre Jordan's, and that's not who we're talking about. We're talking about bigs.
No question. It's been a long time since we've seen two come out like this.
All I can say is give me the Beat Boys, Free My Soul. I want to hear some rock and roll or whatever whatever that song is.
We'll do that right now. We'll come back with something completely different than that, though. It's Mike's break, so it'd probably be a little AC/DC, a little Pantera, maybe even a little Megadeth.
I'm thinking Five Finger Death Punch.
We can do that, too. How about Cannibal Corpse?
No.
Oh, come on.
Oh, okay, fine.
Let's
Hardwood,
do that.
Thank you, my man.
You got Hardwood.
Go Wolves.
Come on back, everybody.
You're done.
You take a mortal man and put him in control.
Yes.
Funny, he's gone.
Will you shut up?
Watch him become a god.
Say hello to my new friend!
Houston, we have a problem.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
You can do it!
Yes, magnified fiber.
We got the three a Duke star trio chilling at the draft lottery. I'm checking out. Yeah, it is. Yeah, they look like a Motley Crue, and that's not what this is. This is Megadeth, but they look like a Motley Crue.
They do, but it seems like, and I like Justice Winslow. I like all three of those guys.
Yeah, I do too.
My family. It seems like my family. I don't know why, but they all love Duke. So. Anytime I'm with any of my brothers and a Duke game's on, that's a Vikings game for me.
Yeah.
Where you don't talk to me, I'm watching Duke. This is a serious business deal.
Really? Seriously?
Not for my brothers. Not me. For Duke.
Got it.
So during the Wild, they're playing playoff games or getting down the stretch in playoff games, and I'm, you know, saying, we've got to watch the Wild. My brother's over at my house or we're out someplace else. I'm asking the bartender, can you put the Wild game on? He's like, no, screw you. Duke's on SportsCenter or whatever, and we got to watch the Duke game. Duke against whoever or whatever the deal is. I'm like, are you nuts?
Wow.
But even my mom loves Duke. So watching these players, Jahlil Okafor and Justice Winslow and Tyus Jones, obviously. All great kids. Wish nothing but the best for them. Just don't want Jahlil Okafor and the Timberwolves. That's all I'm asking for. Nothing crazy.
There's something about him. They talk about potential. They talk about the greatness being that of a player who is a once-in-a-generation, a generational-type player. That doesn't come around very often. I don't hear people say that about players very often.
They're saying that about who's they, but they, quote-unquote, are saying that about Jahlil Okafor?
Yeah.
Well, then why is Karl-Anthony Towns right now the consensus number one overall pick?
They're talking about the way they think Okafor is going to turn out someday. They think he's a special, special kind of... And I'll tell you what, Flip Saunders is pretty close to being that guy. He's saying that. They're not saying that exactly. But he has gone on to say that he thinks this guy is just once in a lifetime kind of player, which I think is amazing because I watched him play a little bit, very little.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the championship game,
sure.
and he didn't play well. I mean, Frank the Tank kind of ate his lunch.
Yeah.
But he sat on the bench for most of the game because he had silly foul after silly foul, and he got himself put over on the bench for about half the game, I would say. But... regardless, they think he's big. I'll take Towns. I'll take Towns here.
I want Towns.
I think he with Wiggins, wow. First year out of the shoot, I think they could be pretty dynamic, along with Kevin Garnett and all the other stuff that we have here. Could be a pretty amazing setup. And there's something about Zach LaVine, don't you think so? Yeah. I think he's just a smooth. Something can happen there, can't it? I don't know who he is in this league's history in the past, but he reminds me of somebody.
Just don't make him be a point guard, because I feel like he's playing out of position. Give him the ball, let him dunk, let him slash, let him be that shooting guard that he actually is. This is USA Today saying, Towns has an enormously high ceiling on offense and is far more advanced defensively than Okafor. We knew about the defensive part. Well, he played a fitting role in Coach John Calipari's platoon offense. It also restricted him from fully blossoming. So you don't necessarily know his full offensive game. He came on strong, proving to be Kentucky's most important player in the NCAA tournament. He's versatile. He was never maximized at the college level. In short, he was just scratching the surface at the NCAA. And so if he was just scratching the surface, when I watched him play, he was the best player in college basketball as far as I knew. Jahlil Okafor, who could score almost 20 points a game, I think he averaged 17.5 points a game, 8.5 rebounds a game while leading Duke to the national championship. He offers finesse in his post moves, jaw-dropping footwork on offense, that is. But he's a dreadful free-throw shooter, only 51%, a step behind on defense. That is, if he even comes back to that side of the court, because oftentimes he thinks he's fouled on the offensive side of the court, and he's complaining to the referees, and so then you're trying to play defense with only four guys. He did lose 12 pounds since the end of the season in an attempt to debunk the lack of defensive quickness criticism. So I think they're both really good players. I really do. I just feel like, whereas Jahlil Okafor was featured at Duke, he was the guy at Duke. Karl Anthony Towns was not featured. They had such a plethora of stars, and they were so deep, he didn't get the chance to show everybody the way he is. And so knowing Flip Saunders and his basketball mind, I think he knows and wants to develop talent. He constantly talks about developing talent. He constantly talks about having guys, two-way players that want to learn. And Glenn Taylor said it himself last night when saying, what kind of player do you want? Glenn Taylor said, we want a smart guy with a big heart. That's Karl Anthony Towns.
I think that's him then. Because if he says heart and he wants that now, it's not there yet for Okafor, I don't think. Say what you want to. Say Okafor's got all the heart in the world. That's why Duke made it to where they went. I don't think so. I think the heart was on some of the other members of that team. I saw it in the championship game. Tyus Jones and the other freshman from wherever, like one of the Carolinas.
Winslow, Justice Winslow.
He was a legitimate freshman. He was a true freshman.
Yeah.
It was the white kid.
He was like a
shooting guard.
Yeah.
Anyway, the kid tore it up. He's just this little redneck hillbilly looking kid.
Grayson Allen.
That's who it was. Yeah. I saw that. I saw those guys take that game over. And I did not see the heart necessarily in Okafor that if they think he's got it. I don't see that yet. But if Flip is looking for that, I don't know of a coach that isn't looking for heart and dedication and determination, all those things. That's what makes a great player a great player. And I don't know. I think a lot has come very easily for Jahlil Okafor, all the way through the ranks. High school, and he's 1 year in college now. I think a lot of it, he's been a big, big kid in a small environment. I mean, quite frankly, I mean, if you're 6'11 at the age of, I don't know, 17, 18 years old, I mean, you're going to be the stud horse for your entire high school, career. And that 1 year at Duke, and he's a great athlete. I'm not taking anything away from him, but he's got a long ways to go to match the determination and desire of these NBA players. I'll say that much.
I just want you, and not necessarily you, superstar, but Bleacher Report, we both love that website, and they're comparing both Okafor and Towns right now. I'm watching highlights back-to-back on both players. And obviously, both players have their positives and negatives. But just, if you're a basketball guy, if you know anything about basketball, and you have a say in what the Minnesota Timberwolves are going to do, watch these comparisons, and I just have a hard time believing the fact that you think Jahlil Okafor is going to be or is already a better player. When you watch the Wisconsin game, you watch the game against Utah, I think it was, and West Virginia, Jahlil Okafor, he looks like a fool, and those are huge, huge games, probably the biggest games in his career at that time through March Madness. And Jahlil Okafor, that was I talking about. Whereas Karl Anthony Towns continued to get better as the bigger the stage, the bigger the games, Karl Anthony Towns just continued to get better. I want to show you this website, but we have to take a break.
We will take a break, and I want to just check out some of the play. I didn't get to see Towns play that much, to be honest. I'm just listening to people who know both these players. What, and I'm gonna, I want to come back with just this one thought. What is the knock? We've talked about the pros and cons of Okafor. I know that Towns has got something that he still needs, but we haven't talked about it that much. Mm-hmm. What is it? What is the downside to Towns?
He's
and
wrong.
Let's just be honest about it.
He's wrong. Yeah, we'll talk about that. Absolutely.
Let's do that next on Radioactive Sports.
Back to superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson on 105 The Ticket.
Back by popular demand. I know you love this song. I wanted to play it twice in a row. Man.
Play that one, or you play a little Peace Sells, But Who's Buying by Megadeth. Peace Sells, Who's Buying. I'm a little Symphony for Destruction. I haven't played that in a while. I haven't heard that in a while. A little Dave Mustaine. You know, we've been talking about the pros and cons of Joel Okafor. Here we go.
I thought you said pee like urine sells. It's actually peace.
Peace sells, but yeah. Who's buying?
I thought it was pee.
What do you mean?
Listen,
what do you mean?
This is pretty cool.
There's got to be some bad stuff on Towns.
Sure, there's.
I mean, we've been talking about it and breaking it down here because we're going to have our choice between these two big studs. We're looking at highlights right now, looking at Okafor. He's tough in the paint. There's no question about how both are. And I don't understand. And
Towns
and
is
Hardwood
not tough
Rob,
in the paint.
Hardwood
offensive.
Brought up a great point, is that he's the old school, Okafor is the old school, back to the basket, back in, power down, and just, you know, he's got that little baby, a soft little baby hook and some cute stuff in the paint that Towns does not have. But Towns can just flat out. He's got the stroke from outside, and he's comfortable taking it. You can tell he doesn't even think about passing. If he's wide open on a 15-footer, he's going to drill it. And I think he gets up and down the court much better. Okafor just does not look right. I don't know. He took weight off. He took some weight off. Took 10 or 12 pounds off, we've been told. That'll make a big difference, but he needed to because I don't think he was moving very well.
No,
not at all. A big guy. I mean, you have to run in the NBA.
He's a clodhopper.
Yeah, he is.
As far as I'm concerned, it's almost like, I know he's a 6'11 and a half, and it's almost like his feet are too big, or he hasn't grown into his feet, or whatever.
Can you imagine that, a basketball player with feet that are too big?
You know what I mean? That's
I know.
Kind of how it seems to me. And so I just, as much as you watch video, and you spent, like 3 hours, I think you said, on TJ Clemmings one Saturday.
I did.
I want you to watch these two. And then come away. I mean, there are highlights. You go to YouTube, you go to anything, and there are highlights, and they'll mash up. You know, you just go Okafor or Towns, who's better? And you'll see. Obviously, Towns tends to back away from the basket. He tends to do the hook shot like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar did, or he'll take a shot from outside near the three-point line. He can shoot. He has a beautiful stroke. He's unbelievable.
Yeah,
if you're looking for a guy that's going to bang down low on the offensive side of the ball, that's not Karl-Anthony Towns right now.
Right.
I think if he puts on some weight and some weight training, and if anybody knows about putting on weight and weight training, it's you, and he can use his body, I think he will be just like Jahlil Okafor. I really do, around the basket.
Yeah.
But everything else, when it comes to playing defense and it comes to hitting free throws, there's nothing I hate more. And that's the problem that the Minnesota Gophers had. I was so irate with the guy. Who's the guy that I hated? Mo Walker.
Mo Walker, the big guy.
But you have to use it. But all you have to do
He scaled down from like 340 down to like 300, I think. And he's still just, but he wasn't assertive. He was very soft.
They call it the Hack-a-Shack. They're doing the same thing. The Golden State Warriors right now are doing the same thing to Dwight Howard in Houston. You give him the ball down low, you foul him, and he can't hit free throws. And so if you're going to be a team that wants to win and wants to fit in with the high-flying guys, what do they call them? The Bounce Brothers, Andrew Wiggins and Zach LaVine. You gotta get a guy like Karl-Anthony Towns, in my opinion. But the knocks on him are that he's a little bit more raw on the offensive down low when it comes to that position, a banger down low. But
well, what kid at 19 years of age isn't still raw? I mean, he hasn't. I mean, these guys have come up from a very early age, a young age, knowing they could play basketball. There's no question that was in this kid's genetics. He's tall. He was made for it. It came easy to him. They'll teach him. They'll teach him the rest. I mean, he doesn't know everything yet. He has to still know about what how the game is played, and the there are moves that a veteran will show him right away. Mm-hmm. Kevin Garnett will show him right away that'll make him instantly better. Can you imagine Rubio coming down the court and looking at either LaVine or Wiggins or Towns and saying, "Where am I going to throw this?"
Yep. And somebody's going to get an alley open. It's going to be beautiful, and the crowd at Target Center is going to love it.
Yeah.
In terms of back to the basket, a Bleacher Report here says Jahlil Okafor reminds you of Al Jefferson, who played here with the Minnesota Timberwolves. Al Jefferson averages 26 points per game and is one of the better players in the NBA when it comes to being down low. But he's a sieve when it comes to defense, and he could score all the points in the world, but I still wasn't satisfied with him as a Minnesota Timberwolf. When it comes to Karl-Anthony Towns, he's so versatile. It's hard to compare him with anything. Consistency will take time, but he's not someone you can leave open. He can play defense, he can rebound, he can do whatever, but on the offensive side of the ball, down low, maybe not as good as Okafor or a guy like Al Jefferson, but you leave him open near the three-point line, he'll sink a three. He reminds me a lot of Kevin Love, where you have a guy that...
spread the defense.
They can spread the defense.
Shoot that long range.
But he can also play defense. Now, he's not Dikembe Mutombo, but he's a more natural defensive player.
And you don't think in your mind that Okafor has the ability to pick up as much defensive skill and knowledge as
it's so hard
Towns
to
would
defense.
Have.
So hard
really?
To teach defense.
I think it's a will. I think it's just
okay, that's what I'm saying. I feel like it is hard to teach defense because you either want to or you have the want to or you don't.
You don't think he'll ever develop that? Even if he doesn't have it now, and I, for no more than I've seen him, it's probably unfair to judge him as the type of kid that doesn't have the heart to play. Hardwood Rob said he played for Coach K. You can't play for Coach K if you don't have some heart. Well, if he's got heart, then he can't play defense, apparently. I mean, if you can't play it, you can't play it. But I'm saying if someone can reach this kid, surely you can teach a kid determination and persistence and getting better at what you do. Surely.
I don't know. I mean, this picture says it all for me, and I know it's radio, so the people listening can't see it, but this picture says it all. Karl-Anthony Towns is on the left. Look at his reaction after a good play or to pump up his team, and look at Jahlil Okafor. Jahlil Okafor is clapping his hands with that dopey look, whereas Karl-Anthony Towns is doing, woo! Yeah, you know, like, come on, you guys are on my back, and it reminds me of a Kevin Garnett.
Yeah.
Obviously, he doesn't have what Kevin Garnett has, but comparable. That heart, that want to, that want to be a championship, want to be the best. Jump on my back. I'm gonna throw the ball. I'm gonna block a shot and throw it into the 14th row of the stands at Target Center, and I'm gonna put the team, the energy and the enthusiasm and to change the momentum of a game. That's what I think Karl-Anthony Towns is.
I'm telling you, if you can develop both sides of your game, offensive and defensively, the way Kevin Garnett did, and to have that guy actually here in the flesh to teach you exactly what he was doing when he was that age and younger, what a huge benefit that would be. Getting one of these kinds of guys, and Garnett too, actually still playing the game of basketball, actually still capable and of showing these guys everything that he ever knew. I mean, that's if they're a sponge, if they're smart, they'll be a sponge. And they'll soak it all up, either one of them. Because I think they're kind of a mixture of, they each one, Okafor and Towns, has something that the other one needs. Okafor could be more athletic and more in shape. The other guy needs to be bigger.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, they need to meet in the middle. That's the perfect player. I don't know. I'm hoping that Okafor, I feel like Flip is going to do it. He's going to pull the trigger on Okafor. If that's the case, then someone's going to teach the kid how to play some defense. I don't know.
I don't want it.
I think probably the guy to have here in town is Towns, for no more than I know about the two. But let's take a little break, and it will be the last break, kids. And then we're going to come back with Sillier Side of Sports and a true superstar next.
Feel that? Radioactive Sports. 105 The Ticket.
Superstar Mike Morris. This is a time we call the sillier side of sports. Torrey Hunter, I just love him so much.
I do too, man.
I've known
him for a long time.
The way he deals with hecklers are hilarious. Seriously, sometimes I wonder how they're able to block out some of these obnoxious drunk fans, keep their cool, turning around to give their fans a piece of their mind. Instead, Torrey Hunter really should be wearing earplugs. Torrey Hunter's pretty vocal himself. But according to a Reddit user, last night a Pirates fan made a chew toy out of Torrey Hunter because of the way that he was ripping him apart from the outfield. Torrey Hunter was just taking it. Torrey Hunter responded, though, at some point, turned around, tipped his cap, smiled, and then posed for a selfie with this fat, drunk Pirates fan. There's a picture right
somehow, here.
You can see that.
Somehow, that does not surprise me.
He's taking a selfie. Hey, take a selfie. Like,
yeah, I'll tell you what. Just go ahead and have one. I'll let you have it. Go ahead.
I've done this before, and it was up north with a bunch of friends of mine, but Rory McIlroy's performance at Quail Hollow Country Club in Charlotte was really good, but may not have been the most impressive. According to TotalFretMove.com, two patrons who were probably very inebriated ended up stealing a golf cart from Quail Hollow and then drove it to Selwyn Pub, which is a bar about 5 miles from the golf course. They made it there without being pulled over on any major, and they were driving on major roads. Apparently, someone from Quail Hollow showed up the next day to apologize and load up the cart to bring it back. And really, this takes both balls and a lot of drunken stupidity to do immediately after a major PGA tournament ends.
I would think so.
People are around cleaning up, and they just hopped in the golf cart and took it off.
Can you imagine? Well, people have no fear, none.
Especially when you have some liquid courage.
Oh yeah, I mean when you enhance it a little bit. I mean, come on.
This is a first for me when it comes to excuses used to explain tardiness. They play a lot of games in Major League Baseball, but forgetting your day-to-day schedule is just irresponsible and bad on the pocketbook, obviously. Angels outfielder Matt Joyce was pulled from the lineup on Monday after he arrived extremely late to the ballpark because it was a day game. He thought it was a night game. Upon being confronted, Joyce told Angels officials that he forgot the team played during the day. He was showing up after the game started to, you know, get ready, get loose, and take batting practice for a night game.
Come on, dude. Come on. Yeah. Get with it. I mean, I've seen guys miss, you know, they're not the bench, but the alarm to get up in the morning. They set their alarm. They set a double alarm, whatever. And they don't make it for whatever reason down to the breakfast table, and the coaches are looking for them at breakfast. It's a pregame meal in the NFL. Mm. And I mean, you want to talk about frantic. When you see one of these guys come running down, and it's an away game, and they're doing everything just to make the bus, to get on the bus to go to the stadium, you want to talk about some really, really messed up guys.
Nothing worse than oversleeping and that frantic feeling that you have basically for the rest of the day.
Then how about springing forward, falling back? Fall back, of course, in the fall. Oh. Dave Dixon, he got up a little bit early. Well, I mean, he got up and was there about 2 hours before sitting at the breakfast table because he forgot to set his alarm clock again. That's or funny. set his new time, of course.
Another great day. Fun day on the radio with you, arguing back and forth who the Minnesota Timberwolves should take, winning the lottery, Carl Anthony Towns, Jahlil Okafor. Tomorrow, we're out for the opening day of the St. Paul Saints at CHS Field. Come on down and join us in Lower Town. It's right off of Broadway there. It's going to be a lot of fun. We'll be there from 4 to 7. All the food, all the stuff. Home opener.
It's going to be fun.
Grand opener for new CHS Field. I can't wait to show you around down there. You're going to have a lot of fun. They have a lot of great food. And it'll be a great time. But now we have to leave because the ticket outdoors. Those guys are pounding on the door to
They're
get in
They're waiting outside with some bear soup.
So
we've had that happen. Actually had that before.
Yeah, they're interesting fellows.
They're a good bunch. They're a good bunch. So fun-loving, the good old boys. We have a true superstar, though, to finish our show. Army First Lieutenant Scott F. Miley, 23 years of age, from Sudbury, Massachusetts, assigned to the 2nd Battalion, 30th Infantry Regiment, 4th Brigade Combat Team, 10th Mountain Division out of Fort Polk, Louisiana, died November 30th in Barak District, Afghanistan. Wounds sustained when insurgents attacked his position using small arms fire. Do remember, please, if you would, in your hearts and prayers, Army First Lieutenant Scott F. Miley, my true superstar, 23 years of age. God bless him. Good night.
Here's Sports Radio 105, The Ticket on iHeartRadio.